talking to all of you, wherever you are on this troubled planet, and Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com, one of the truly great organizations online to become a member of, enjoy, and relive history as it really happened, not as you're told in school. That doesn't work anymore. Okay, I've got something else up in guests there. Look under Harry's name, photos, and there'll be a second item that you can click on and load up. And we'll go, can you do that? Are you online?
Online. I'm trying to see where I'm at here. Remember, I'm computer stupid.
Just go on the Unrents, look on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Where guests are. Scroll down.
Yeah. There's my name, and it says photos.
All right. Look underneath photos. Should say Hitler in Argentina after the war ended. Does it say that?
Okay, wait. I got to reload your page.
Yeah, you got to reload.
There it is.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
Yeah, reload and click on that and load her up.
There it is.
And
this
is very important.
Yep. There he's having lunch with the Eichhorn family.
All right. Now let's tell him in slow motion what this is. This is from the Daily Star, which I think is in India. No, no, it's a UK paper. They have one called the Star in India.
Okay, I didn't know that, but the Star is a biggie in the UK.
Yeah. They always, about once a month, they pull up an evil Nazi story of one kind or another. And
yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah, I know. And one that's even worse is the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
My friends in England call it the Daily Fail.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it's amazing how these newspapers all have these right-hand columns of TNA, we used to call it, women, celebrities.
Yeah, they all have the nude women in there.
Yeah, they're not quite nude, but, you know. All right.
Well, it used to be.
I guess if you take their clothes off, they're all nude. These astonishing pictures are said to prove Adolf Hitler escaped to Argentina after World War II and died of old age. It has been sensationally claimed. Well, you don't need to claim it. You just show the pictures. And the pictures have been positively identified. Look at the first three. You see the color picture of Hitler with his armband.
And his Iron Cross.
Iron Cross. So that's probably from World War I, eh?
It was.
He was a hero.
Yeah, he was a courier, and he used to have to run between the trenches up in when people were shooting at him.
Yeah, that was like shooting at an arcade with the .22 rifle, you know, ducks going by.
Right, they were using a little bigger than .22s.
Yeah, they were trying to shoot these guys, the runners.
Yeah, imagine that, trying to shoot the enemy. What will they think of next?
Yeah. Now, if you look at the pictures, the two pictures, one, the top one, they're obviously at a table in an identifiable building. That's important. This is the Hotel Eden, and they're at a table. And if you look at the bottom picture, you'll see the left side of Hitler's face. Interesting how he kept apparently his mustache for a time down there.
It would appear so, yeah.
Yeah, and then across from him, the guy reaching into his pocket is Mr. Eichhorn, right?
I would assume, yeah. I don't have any pictures of him. I was at his grave, him and his wife Ida, and also his brother and his brother's wife, the Eichhorn family. They bought the Hotel Eden, which had been in operation for 40, 50, 60 years before World War II came out.
Huh.
And after they had it, they were run out by the Argentine government, who seized the hotel, and then they let it kind of go to hell.
Well, it's obviously Hitler sitting there. It doesn't take a computer scan to figure that out.
Yeah, you'd have to be blind not to realize it.
Right. And then you go down to a lower picture, and there's it's enlarged somewhat, and you can see its hairline is a little bit higher. And this is after the war, 1947.
Yeah, and it says right there, Walter and Ida Eichhorn. Eichhorn is a German word for acorn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the questionable pictures, says the newspaper, Hitler can be seen set at a dinner table with Walter and Ida Eichhorn, owners of the Eden Hotel in La Falda, Argentina.
Yeah, they misspelled it. It's really La Falda. They misspelled it. The name of the town is La Falda, F-A-L-D-A.
Now, I recall that from before now.
Right.
Outlandish claims that the authoritarian... What's that?
Authoritarian.
Authoritarian. Outlandish claims that the authoritarian leader evaded death. Authoritarian. What leaders aren't authoritarian?
Obama.
That's true. Well, he was too gay to bother, I guess.
He was an unusual person.
Still is, they say.
Yeah. Oh, there it says, it talks about Abel Basti. He was a member of Shark Hunters. I met him.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote a book, Hitler in Exile. Has that been translated?
I don't know. I had been bugging him for years to translate it into English. Excuse me, because that's where his biggest market would be. I don't think it's been translated into English. Maybe into other languages. I don't know, but I've never seen it in English.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Basti is the best researcher on the Third Reich in Argentina. But he got really. He got screwed by the guys who did this hunting Hitler thing.
Yeah.
They were down there, and to Basti, the world revolves around money. As I told you, I came back a year after I met him. That was in 2009. I came back. I had about 10 people with me. And we went to dinner at a very nice restaurant. I called him up and invited him to come and join us for dinner, and he wanted me to pay him $700 U.S. I said, what? What for? What do you think, you're Ronald Reagan or somebody important? I says, you know, I'm inviting you as a friend, mm-hmm. as a member of Shark Hunters, and you're my guest. I'll pay for your dinner. Nope, he still wanted $700, so I told him, well, go find McDonald's. But when Williams and these guys, Williams was kind of the point of the spear there, waving money under Basti's nose, mm-hmm. and Basti apparently signed a contract with him. And from what I've been told, Basti handed over a lot of information before he got paid. And then he never got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm told also by somebody who I won't mention, somebody who knows him very well and who's a good friend of mine down there, Williams even stole things from Basti. And according to this source, Williams offered, let's see, it's kind of like an apprentice to Basti, a guy named Nahuel Coca, who is also was a member of Shark Hunters, young fellow, about 23, 24 years old. According to this person, Williams offered him 20,000 Yankee dollars to steal some files from Lawrence DeMello, who is probably top researcher in Borman.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taking the money and stealing the stuff, he went right to Lawrence DeMello and said, hey, look, this guy offered to steal, you know, offered me money to steal things from you, so you better watch out. Somebody else might steal. So he's an honest young man, because $20,000 bucks U.S.
Yeah.
to a young kid in Argentina is a fortune.
Yes, it is. Well, Basti must have a lot of stuff still.
Yeah, Basti is a very good researcher. There were only a few researchers down there. DiNapoli is another one. I forget the third guy, but DiNapoli, I met him and in 2008. Then I think somewhere around 2012, 13, 14, something like that, he had a heart attack by his swimming pool, and that was the end of him.
Hmm. All right, let's scan the rest of this article here.
All righty.
The next picture is of Hitler in the late 20s, early 30s, probably early 30s, saluting at a parade somewhere, black and white. Then there's a picture of the Eden Hotel.
Yeah. I've been there a couple of times. It's it's fading from glory, of course, like I say, because there's no money to keep it up. But they do preserve parts of it, the big ballroom, because they have informal dinner dances there a couple of times a year.
Uh-huh.
And they maintained a very small part of it, one hallway with the room so that you can, they give you tours. And you go through the tours and you see what it was like. And believe me, if you leave the tour and go off on your own, the tour director gets really excited. I can tell you that from first-hand experience.
Mm-hmm.
I figure, oh, let's see what's up these stairs. And they start yelling at me in Spanish, so I figure, she's not yelling, go ahead, have a ball, take all the risks you want.
Well, this is different than verboten in Germany.
Well, yeah, it's no pasar.
Uh-huh.
But I figure that means the same thing. Harry's welcome here.
I would think.
Yeah. This was quite the place. On my website, sharkhunters.com, go to previous tours. Don't go to 2008 Argentina. There are black and white pictures of this hotel back in the 30s, late 20s, early 30s.
Uh-huh.
The ultra-wealthy Germans would come here. They would have to take a ship to Buenos Aires.
Uh-huh.
And then take a probably rail, because this place is 400 miles northwest of Buenos Aires. And in the 1930s and 40s, it was way out in nowhere.
Is that in Cordoba?
Yeah, that's in Cordoba province, yeah, the town of La Falda.
Yeah.
Cordoba, somebody told me what La Falda meant, but I forgot what it was. It was nothing exciting. But this place, I mean, you didn't go there for a weekend. You didn't go there for a two-week vacation. They went there for a whole winter in Germany, because that's summertime down here, or
right.
Whatever. People were there for a long time.
Yeah.
What the heck's his name there? The guy with the E equals MC square.
Einstein.
Einstein. He was there. Back in the 20s, he stayed there. The Crown Prince was there. A lot of famous people were there. And they had a long row of garages where they had Model T Fords for the guests. They had tennis courts. They had all sorts of stuff. And they also had a separate section for the bachelors, because they didn't want the bachelors staying in the hotel where the wives of some of the soldiers or dignitaries were. They didn't want them mingling, shall we say.
Mingling.
But yeah.
It's an old German word. I remember that.
Is that what it is? Yeah, but I'm told they did manage to mingle.
Oh, no, that was Mangala. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Get confused.
Yeah. But then they have another building close by, within, like, say, 100 yards away at the most, which was the Annex, which is still in operation today. That's where I stayed when I was there in 2014 or 15. I can't remember which. I stayed in the Annex. And that's where Hitler stayed in 1947 when he visited the Eichhorns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if I was in the same room as Hitler. They're not going to tell anybody.
Well, that's fascinating.
Living right in history.
Yeah.
And if
below
anybody listening is interested, we're going back with a group tour in February of 2018. So.
Very good.
Send an email to sharkhunters@earthlink.net and ask for information. And
you're going to find the boat skipper. You promised me.
I'm going to find what?
The boat skipper. We got to get that guy.
I've got my guy down there looking into that, and we know who he is, and we know where he is, and so my guy down there is trying to make contact.
We got to get him on video, even if we just see the back of his head. Doesn't matter. We got to get his story.
I don't think he's shy about talking. It's just I didn't get his contact information when I met him in 2009. And
we got to protect him from these other people who out there who are frauds and plagiarists.
Yeah.
We got to protect the guy. But he knows. He knows a ton. He may even have pictures. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
That's what I would like to find out, because he knew who lived there. Like I say, when we were walking across the grass up to the estate where Hitler had lived,
this is in Bariloche. for our listeners. This is for our listeners in Bariloche, Argentina.
That's correct, yeah. He come marching past us, goose-stepping with his right arm out. It caught me by surprise. I said, what the hell are you doing? He says, I know who lived here. I said, yeah, how do you know that? He says, I grew up here. My father was a caretaker, and I lived here all my young life. And then he went goose-stepping off with his right arm out and yelled back, I know who lived here.
He's got one of the great books in the world in him, and we've got to get that out.
I know. I'm going back there. I just got my my passport renewed. I just got it in the mail a couple of days ago, and I'll be getting my visa for for Brazil and for Paraguay.
Good.
Don't need a visa for Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And the Paraguay visa is real easy to get. The Brazil visa, Jesus. You know, they want the last 3 months of your bank statement and want to know what your, and they want to see your ticket to make sure you got a ticket back out of Brazil. They don't want you staying there. Like I told them, you know, it's a beautiful country. I like it, but I sure as hell am not going to stay there. I'm coming back to Florida.
Kind of unfriendly.
Yeah, well, there's been a visa war between the U.S. and Brazil for decades.
Mm-hmm.
If they can jerk the rugs out from under one another, they do it.
Mm.
And it ain't like it's a freebie. It costs you $160
mm-hmm.
for the visa.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm trying to get a 10-year open-ended visa, but they mm-hmm. keep saying, no, 60 days, that's all you get. So if you want to go back again, it's another $160.
Yeah. Well,
and your Yankee dollar is not very powerful in Brazil. It's worth four of their dollars, called reais. But it's a beautiful country, great food, nice people.
Good Argentina. More for your
like
more
Argentina.
Bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Just as beautiful.
Buenos Aires was called the Paris of the South.
Sure.
And there are some sections that are really, really gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
But this 40% inflation would bother me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost like a return to the Jimmy Carter days when it was 17% in this country.
God, that's hard to believe. You're
yeah.
Right.
And banks were paying, what, 15% interest on your savings?
Something
right
like
now,
that.
I've got a savings account that gets half of 1% interest.
It's down to one half of one. Huh.
Yeah, I don't think I can retire on that.
No. No. All right, the last of the pictures here below the hotel is a series of four color pictures with an inset of Hitler in the middle. And I think that that is a recreation of the bunker room.
It could be.
They've recreated it, and I believe that that's a recreation.
If so, it's laid out pretty much like the other pictures I've seen, or maybe this is a colorized version. But this shows exactly what I mentioned in Hitler in Argentina, how the three majors, Sturmbannfuhrer, Linge, Kempke, and Günsche, described the suicide scene. And they didn't see anything. Two of them heard a shot, and a third one said he smelled the burnt gunpowder. And they rushed in individually, and the time they rushed in was a couple hours apart, so apparently something wasn't right. And we think now the SS was leaving clues for us to figure out later in the, decades later. Mm-hmm. But there's the sofa, and there's the two wing chairs. And according to two of the guys, Hitler was seated on the end of the sofa, slumped over with blood oozing out of the temple where he shot himself, even though you see that picture of the alleged suicide with a bullet straight in his forehead, which is impossible to do with a pistol in your hand, and that Eva Braun was on the other end of the sofa, slumped over because she had taken poison. The third guy said that Eva Braun was laying down on the sofa and Hitler was sitting in one of the wing chairs.
Well, no. They were on a plane away out of Berlin is where they've gone.
And well before the date of the suicide, which was, 28th of April, I think, or the 30th of April, because he had been there for his birthday. Uh-huh. Admiral Dönitz was there, and also my best friend in Germany, Hans-Georg Hess. He was not there at the birthday party, but he rode back with Dönitz in the car back to, where was it, Mürwik. So Hitler was there for his birthday, but as of the 23rd of April, all the orders were signed by Bormann and not by Hitler, because we believe Hitler wasn't there anymore. He was mm-hmm. he was out the door. And now when I was down there, I think I told you, I spoke to this nice lady whose brother was working on one of the estancias in Uruguay, and he told her about the German planes, plural, that landed on the estancia, not just the big Ju-390 six engines that we believe brought Hitler over, but also some other German planes. She couldn't describe them, but that would probably be some of the Ju-290s and the Focke-Wulf 200 Condors mm-hmm. that were at that base, Schweidnitz, in the closing moments of the war.
Right.
Surrounded by the Red Army, but defended by some of the best of the Waffen-SS to let uh-huh. these planes get out.
Yeah, yeah. Hitler's birthday was yesterday, by the way.
So it was. It was also 2 years that I bought a car for my wife by sheer coincidence on his birthday. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but we got a whole lot of emails yesterday. Happy birthday type emails.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Now, I suspect we're going to hear from the Southern Poverty Spitlickers Law Center.
Yeah, well, there's not much law there. It's intimidation, yeah. Hate, and brutality.
Right. They'll be saying, Cooper was celebrating Hitler's birthday.
They're not allowed to mention someone's birthday. That means you obviously are an evil Nazi.
Yep.
Never mind that it's a historical fact that he was born on April 20th.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. We will continue in just a couple minutes. If you're still looking at that page of pictures of Hitler at the Eden Hotel, look at the very last one at the bottom. You'll get a left profile of him. And look in your email box, Mr. Cooper.
Okay.
And tell me what you see.
In my email box or in that picture?
No, in the email box.
Okay.
Keep the picture handy, too. I just sent you an email. I found a profile.
Okay, let's see. Oh, Jesus, old computer's not playing the game. Okay, push button. Oh, Jay Rents photos.
That's a good start.
Yeah. And
scroll down.
Well, I got to wait till it opens up. Some of these computers, you got to beat them.
Hmm.
Before they work.
Like Muslims do to their wives, I understand.
I don't know.
I had a story the other day of two Muslim wives defending wife beating, saying how necessary it was and how important it was.
Yeah. Well, not opening on this computer, so I'll go to the other computer, that's all. They do what they're programmed.
Yeah.
So
anyway, what I did was I found a photo, another left profile photo of Hitler, which is a perfect overlay, perfect match.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there can't be any doubt who that is.
None.
There we go. We'll open it here in this other computer. My fancy new... Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there's the left profile that you sent me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Same ear. Same thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the ears are a major identifying mark.
Yeah. So it's all there. The shape of the head, it's there. It's just, yeah. There can be no doubt. There just isn't any question at all.
Yep. But he died in the bunker. That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah,
even
right.
Though they saw him 2 years later having dinner with the Eichhorn family. I'm surprised anyone was allowed to take photos.
I wonder if Hitler, he must have known. You get a click, click, click.
In those days, yeah.
You're right. So... I don't know. Maybe it was the Eichhorns asked him, and they said, they'll never go anywhere. Don't worry. And he said, well, okay. But that was one of the world's biggest secrets then. So your question is quite valid.
Yeah. You know, there's got to be some other pictures, maybe of Eva Braun as
probably,
well.
Probably a bunch of them down there. And then the boat skipper would know. He probably had one taken with him.
Could have been. I don't know. But we're looking for him. We know the name. And I told my guy down there to look for him. And he said, well, he found evidence of his father living in Cordova province after the war.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but his father was living down at Bariloche. For 10 years after the war, because he was the head caretaker
right.
at Hitler's estate.
Yeah. Well, what I just sent you is absolute, no, unquestionable proof.
Yeah.
None. There's no question about it. Okay.
Incidentally, when you want, we can swing back to the other two submarines. But
yeah, they're up now. James found them. Put them
up. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can go back there. Go back to the original photo list and look for guests and look for Harry Cooper. And they're there.
I know that guy, Cooper. Speaks in a monotone, doesn't he?
Just put me right to sleep. I'll tell you that.
Okay, here we are.
He drove race cars with a monotone. That was the other problem. He put the other drivers to sleep. And
yeah, I did my best. Okay, yeah, there's the last two photos. We look down at the very bottom, and you got that very dapper-looking skipper who has his Iron Cross and his U-boat badge and his, he's got a front spanga. You look under where it says sharkhunters.com, right under .com, that is a front spanga, I think, which is the close combat clasp. Anyhow, this is Heinz Schaefer. He was skipper of U-977. We've talked about it before, and that's his submarine right below there, looking like hell. That's also taken in Mar del Plata. That's an Argentine destroyer behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in early August of 1945, 3 months after the war ended. That's when he popped up here in Mar del Plata. And I kept trying to find Schaefer, and every time we'd get close to finding him, we'd get the news that he was dead. So I'd stop looking, and then a while later we'd find out, no, he ain't dead, he was just ducking. So finally we found out he really was dead, but now I'm in contact with his son. And his son and I are supposed to get together for coffee.
Nice.
And talk, yeah, but his son... very quickly gives me a preview by saying, I don't know nothing. You know, a lot like Sergeant Schultz. I see nothing, I hear nothing, I know nothing. But we'll find out. But this was the boat. the Type 7 really doesn't have the range to make it all the way down to Argentina from Norway. And he had been on a combat patrol off England, came back, dropped off the married men. And in his book, U-Boat 977, that Schaefer wrote, he said that he dropped off the married men. This was a nice humanitarian act, you know, let the married men go back to their wives, etc., while the single men decided they were going to run for Argentina. But in this book, Hitler and the Secret Alliance, Michael Ivanheim goes through the step-by-step why they needed the space. It wasn't that he was being kind. Although maybe he was to let off the married guy.
Taking wealth and documents.
And he goes into detail about how the chief engineer on the boat, the Obersteuerman, was having trouble trimming the boat because it was so heavy. So what did he bring down there? Nothing, according to him. He also tried to explain how his boat was able to make it that far when it didn't have that kind of a range. He claimed in his book that he snorkeled underwater for 66 days. And at
that
the time
takes a lot more fuel, doesn't it?
Everybody just hailed it as a fantastic feat of seamanship. And he said that would help him save fuel. Well, that's baloney, because you're running the diesel underwater with your snorkel sticking up. But you're pushing all that instead of just a streamlined hull, like if you're on the surface. When you're submerged, you're pushing all that irregular shaped stuff, like the conning tower, the deck gun.
Well, he must have met up with a milch cow, right?
Well, a milch cow or someplace along the way where he could get some fuel. And snorkeling for 66 days is preposterous. It just, and Michael Ivanheim in this book explains how it just plain couldn't have happened. And Ivanheim also goes into great detail about the Brazilian cruiser Bahia, which blew up with great loss of life right around the time either U-530 or U-977 was in the general area, maybe within a few hundred miles of it, and they're trying to find, they'll never solve this problem, but they're trying to decide if one of these U-boats torpedoed the Bahia, which I don't think really happened because they were trying to be subtle. They were trying to sneak on down there. It wouldn't make sense. They'd attract attention.
Unless they were under attack by the cruiser somehow.
Yeah, who knows? But they also tried to explain that there were ready depth charges on the back of the cruiser, and they were doing live fire exercises with the 20-millimeter anti-aircraft guns. And Ivanheim points out in this book that it's possible one of the gunners depressed his 20-millimeter and fired into the ready depth charges, which blew the stern off the ship. We'll never know. It's one of those things that we know it happened, but we don't know why or how. So that,
you know, that
is
that picture I sent you is it's an autographed picture. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the autograph on it.
That is a priceless piece of
the original. Yeah, it'd be worth a ton of money.
And probably $100,000.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out, because somewhere in our library here of 5,000 plus books, I have a hand-signed 1943 copy of Mein Kampf, signed by Hitler.
Wow.
It's around here someplace.
Yeah, it's just a
My office looks like an explosion in the public library. Now, the other submarine we're talking about, you know, if there's interest, there's a submarine U-1055, which, according to history, was sunk off England by a Catalina, I think it was. Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, a U.S. Navy aircraft from VPB 63 Squadron, west of Ushant, I have no idea where that is. Or, according to other sources, it was sunk by two Norwegian motor torpedo boats south of Bergen, Norway. Well, that's not true also. It was last heard from, what the heck was it? I think it was the 24th of April. And it had a heavy fuel load. That's what's interesting about it. It had a full fuel load, even though it was only supposed to go down around England. And this was at a time when Germany was very short of fuel. It was only supposed to go down and conduct a combat patrol off England, but yet it had a full fuel load. We have evidence that it made it to Argentina, and the boat is still down in Argentine waters. Now, where is it sunk? Mm-hmm. We don't know. We've got several possibilities that none have been proven.
If it were found, what would happen to it in relatively shallow water?
Well, there's probably not much left of it. As you know, the sea is not very kind.
No.
And any of the boats that we know of, like U-352 off the coast of Cape Hatteras, etc., there's nothing left but the pressure hull and the pressure part of the conning tower. All the fairing and the hull, the smooth shape, that's all gone because that was thin
right.
steel.
Right.
Only the pressure hull remains. So at any rate, if it was found, it would prove that it went there.
Yes.
You can find out what boat it was if you go inside, because there are serial numbers. There should be a brass plaque screwed to the forward part of the periscope shears that says where it was built and what the Verke number was, the work number, which is not the same as the U number. But and then you get serial numbers off the engines, and the Germans are fastidious about keeping records, and we've checked other submarines through the German manufacturer. All we had was a serial number from an electric motor, for instance. Oh, yeah, that was in such and such boat.
Right.
So they keep fantastic records. So the problem is there are several potential places that we think it might have been scuttled, but which one of these three places do you look at first, and where do you get the money? You know, you got to go down there with a ton of money. Fortunately, we have a very nice member, Jack. I won't go into last name because then he'll get hit by all the treasure hunters. But whenever we're going down there, he sends us $5,000. No shark hunter's money is ever used on our expeditions like this. It all comes primarily from Jack, and also from another fellow. We'll just identify him as the duck hunter, because he doesn't want to be bothered by people asking for money too. So we can do a 2-week expedition to South America or to Europe for $5,000, see the people we need to see, and get the interviews we need. But to go looking for sunken submarines, that's going to take a bunch more money. So I'm going to have to win the lottery.
Well, you deserve it. Go ahead. Don't
either
let me
that
slow
or
you
waiting
down
for the money Obama promised to send everybody.
Oh, God. He never even delivered the free cell phones, did he? Maybe he did. Gave a few.
I don't know. I didn't get one.
Yeah. He must have paid your mortgage then instead. Wasn't that it? he gave you gasoline for your car.
Yeah, I paid my mortgage off 2 years before he came into office, thank God. So we don't owe anything on the mortgage, and he didn't give me a free nothing. But anyhow, you know, we have members who have strong wallets, and if we get to the point where we feel that it's at point A or point B or point C, wherever, if we have good intel that we think it's really in this particular location, I'm sure we'd be able to get enough money to go and search for it. And I'm a certified diver, and we got so much talent in shark hunters. We got pilots, we got divers, we got boat operators, got everything. So we could put it together. But we think there's more than just this other boat down there. U-977 and U-530 were brought back to the United States after they were surrendered, and then they were sunk as targets. U-977 was a target for USS Atul, but I don't remember which one sank U-530, but it was sunk as a torpedo target. And there are a few other boats scuttled down there, we believe. And we believe pretty strongly.
Maybe more than one or two. Maybe half a dozen. Who knows? We don't know.
Who knows? That's the point. Who knows? And we keep getting stories about either boats being scuttled or remains of some shoreside facility that has been abandoned and falling to pieces.
Right.
There's pictures of some of those places on some of our previous tours. I can't remember which year. So it's there. It just takes time and money. And that's, you know, the old saying is, too bad I was born good-looking instead of wealthy, but we're stuck with it.
Wait a minute. That's not necessarily true.
Maybe I'll win the lottery.
As your attorney and your doctor, I need to inquire, what is this cough I hear?
Oh, no, it's just, it's late in the evening, and, I go to bed early, and so when I'm on your show, I wake up at 9:30 at night, and, and plus, down here, it's springtime, and...
Oh, I'm sure everything's blooming.
That's right,
blooming.
All the oak trees are in bloom, and my Torch Red Corvette, if it sits for 2 days, it's got a yellow film on it, all the oak pollen.
Boy, that's some heavy-duty pollen.
Uh-huh. You're not kidding. Well, that's why everything grows so well in Florida, because the warm weather and the climate, and so everything has got pollen going everywhere, but there's a fine yellow powder on everything. And it got so bad, my wife and my son are going to the doctor next week.
Wow. Good. Well, get some hot tea.
I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
No.
So, incidentally, if your listeners would like a free copy of our magazine electronically, then just send us an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Say they heard us on the show, and we'll send them a free electronic copy of our current magazine. No strings attached. No hits or whatever. And
good.
We won't call you like the NRA keeps calling us to renew us.
Mm. Well, listen, this has all been fun and, as usual, very informative. We'll do this again next month. When is your next trip? You're going to Europe, and there's still openings, or is the deadline passed?
Yeah, there's still openings for our tour to Europe, and... Mm-hmm. We're going to, this is our southern tour. We start out in Munich, and we'll see some of the historic buildings in Munich. We go to Nuremberg, mm-hmm. see some of the historic mm-hmm. buildings there, and we naturally are at the big stadium at Zeppelinfeld, where all the big speeches were made, and we go there, we can stand there, and we tell everybody, don't put your right arm in the air, even kiddingly, because there's police here, and that'll be the end of your vacation. But we go inside there, which is a place where Hitler went to receptions
uh-huh.
before he would go out and make his speech. And the swastikas, the gold swastikas, are still inlaid in the ceiling.
Yeah, the pictures are stunning of it.
Yeah, oh, it's gorgeous. They had quite a civilization started up over there.
Yes, they did.
And we go to
Size of Texas. People remember that. Those of you who don't know geography, Germany was not a huge country.
No,
it was just hugely talented.
Right, and also we have lunch at what's called Hitler's train station. It's no longer an operating train station. It's a restaurant, but it's where he used to get off the train mm-hmm. behind the stadium to come in. We also have a very special arrangement with Messerschmitt. They have, in the Messerschmitt Foundation, they've got this incredible hangar where they have one each of every plane that Messerschmitt ever built.
Have you done this before?
We've never been to the Messerschmitt Foundation.
Okay, this
before.
Is going to this be worth, that'll be worth the trip.
Right.
Just that.
And we're also going to, we did this last year, Red Bull.
Yeah, yeah.
Surprisingly enough, is not an American company. It's an Austrian company. And we go into their huge hangar where they've got the only operating P-38 Lightning in Europe. They've got a B-25 Mitchell bomber. They've got a Corsair. All these are flyable. They fly them in air shows. They've also got a bunch of Soviet jet fighters, and they got a couple of NASCAR.
And hard to believe that all the American planes are chrome-plated.
Yeah, right. They chrome-plated them.
That's
for
amazing.
Ease of maintenance. They don't have to repaint them.
Yeah.
And
just
they
polish them up.
Yeah.
How
so
interesting.
We go there, and there's a train in a tunnel that has recently been found. Not a treasure train. It doesn't have gold and diamonds. It doesn't
yeah, but it
have,
might have a lot of other fun stuff.
Well, that could be. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but we're going to go there. And, of course, the high point is in southern Austria on the first Sunday of October. The veterans there have a memorial service up on the mountain where they remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what flag flew over them, no matter what uniform they wore.
Very well said.
The Spitlickers keep saying it's a Nazi reunion. Well, it's not.
Oh, God, please.
A lot of the guys there from the 5th SS and the Waffen SS were some of the toughest soldiers of World War II. So, and we're guests at the Navy League for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal lunch. It's hot dogs and beer, but it's good hot
That's
dogs
fun.
And beer.
That's fun.
So they can, your people can go to sharkhunters.com and click on tours. And there's the whole thing about the 2017 Southern Patrol is there, all the information, or they can call here. And also the previous tours are there. You see how much fun we had on all these tours.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, my man. It's the end of another program for this month. Talk to you next month. Thanks for all the wonderful historical information, and it's so sad for me, and I can say this because it's my program. The Spitlickers already come after me, but from an historical perspective, we know, all of us who study history know, that the way Europe is rapidly being turned into a third world cesspool of rape and crime and criminality and horror would never have happened had Germany, and I'm not mentioning any particular names, but had Germany won the war and stabilized Europe, which would have happened. Hitler would have died eventually. It would have stabilized. We didn't need the Cold War. How many people died during the Cold War? We didn't need that. We don't need what's going on now. The world took a major turn at the end of World War II, and it has never recovered from it. I can say that.
Yeah, it's your show. You can do whatever you like.
You didn't say anything. Anyway.
And even if Germany hadn't won, Hitler kept trying to sue for peace with Churchill.
Over and over and over again. Dropping leaflets.
And in the current issue of our magazine, we go into the deal on how Charles Higham was about to release a book on the truth of Rudolf Hess's flight over there, and he woke up dead one morning and all his papers disappeared.
That's right. That's exactly right. There's so much
surprising.
More. The bottom line is, there's so much more to World War II than the average person will ever know. But if you hang out around here with Harry and join Shark Hunters, you're going to get a pretty darn good look. All right? Very good. Good night, sir. Sleep
well.
All right.
You have a great evening. Okay. My coach is turning into a pumpkin.
All right, my man. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye,
Harry. Okay. Back with Hour 3 in a minute.